Well, in just a minute, we're going to be singing two songs. I was just going to share a short thought with you, and hopefully it'll be encouraging to you. Nothing profound at all, something Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, where he's talking about how we need to no longer live the way we used to, in the way the Gentiles live, but that we put on a new person in Christ. And of course, you know, in verse 25 and following, he talks about various things we should no longer do, but do this other thing instead. And I wanted to think for just a few minutes about what he says in verse 29. When he says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Well, if you're like me and you grew up in a religious family, I was taught from a very young age, now you don't say bad words. You know, there are these certain bad words you just shouldn't say. And I remember being a young Christian thinking, well, I'm, you know, a very pure and righteous person, and I make sure I don't listen to any songs that have bad words in them, and I don't, you know, I don't use those words. And oh boy, I remember I used to be so proud of myself that I didn't. There's this short list of words that other people say that I don't say, you know, and look at me, I don't let any, you know, corrupting speech come out of my mouth. Well, I obviously had a very immature understanding of what Paul's talking about. What does he mean when he says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths"? I tell you, I still am learning this lesson, and I still need the Lord's help with this. Anytime I use my speech to exalt myself, to tear somebody else down, is that not corrupting speech? And look how Paul clarifies it. He doesn't say, make sure that only, you know, that no bad words come out of your mouth, not any on this short list, but only words that are, you know, they pass the purity filter and these specific words in the dictionary are okay to use. No, he says, only say things that are good for building up. And so I need to be more careful about, especially when you're in the heat of the moment, and, you know, maybe you're at work or you're talking to somebody and there's some kind of disagreement, and or maybe it's, you know, talking with your spouse, and you're, it's particularly when we're angry that we struggle the most with this, that we tend to become fleshly and lose self-control. But I need to constantly think about, before I say something, what can I say to build this person up and to help them? And that's particularly true within the family of God. As you and I talk to one another, we've all been baptized into Jesus, immersed in the Spirit, and we're following in His example. And everything that we say, we need to think about, how is this going to help my brother or my sister to be built up? And if we think about that before we talk, we'll find it really, you know, transforms the way we treat one another. And this is no different than what Paul says elsewhere, that basically what we're talking about is considering other people as more important than ourselves. And so it's not about me talking so, you know, I can impress you in some way, but it's really about me trying to understand, what can I do to help you when I talk? And only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion. Sometimes the right thing to say really depends on the occasion. It's not like you can just memorize some kind of list of key phrases that anytime you say that, it's going to be appropriate. You know, we have to think about the context of what's happened, what's going on in this person's life, what's going on in the immediate situation, how can I, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but you know, you can ponder different situations you've been in, thinking about in this particular occasion, what is the best thing to say to help my brother or my sister, or just my neighbor or my, you know, anybody that I meet. But lastly, we choose to say things that build one another up. We choose to say things that fit the occasion, and we choose to say things that give grace to those who hear. And that may be the hardest one of all, because basically what Paul is calling on me to do is to be kind in my speech, even when the person I'm talking to doesn't necessarily deserve that kindness. Jesus was kind to me when I didn't deserve it. And, you know, there are just far too many moments in my life when I think about what I've said, particularly when I think about my family relationships and people I'm the closest to. You know, I used to wonder, why is it, you know, the people you're closest to in your family, why is it that we, you know, people are most guilty of the sin of anger or bitterness or unkindness towards their family than, you know, other people in the church? And I've come to conclude, well, basically it's because it's easier to get away with being fake around the people you're not around all the time. But if you live with somebody, the real you is going to come out. You know, and the real me too often has been bitter and unkind. And then my speech hasn't been seasoned with grace to help others. Now, there have been plenty of times in my life when it has been, and the Lord has been good to me and helped me and given me strength to speak with grace. But like I've talked about before, that needs to be a consistent thing. And so my simple encouragement to us tonight is that we let Jesus change the way we talk, so that every time we speak, we would speak to build others up. That every time we speak, we would speak words that fit the occasion. And every time we speak, we would speak with kindness, even when it's not deserved. And if we'll let the Lord do that in our lives, we will find His grace will abound and He will be glorified even in the way that we talk to one another and to others out around us. Well, I think most everybody here tonight is already a disciple of Jesus, but of course if you're not, we would always encourage you to come to Jesus. We believe that life is in Him, forgiveness is in Him. We don't have the answers, but we know Jesus does, and we just want to encourage people, come to Jesus. And in that vein, whether you are a disciple or not a disciple, you know, this is traditionally a time where if there's anything we can do to help anybody who has a need, then you're welcome to come forward while we stand and sing. Or if you'd rather just talk to somebody afterwards and ask for prayers, of course, we're going to spend some time together after we dismiss tonight and be able to talk with one another and find ways to build one another up. But if you have any need, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?